Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Zydus Life Sciences earnings conference call for first quarter of FY27. Please note, all participants' line will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after management's opening remarks. Should you need any assistance during the conference call, please raise your hand from the participant tab on the screen. While asking questions, request you to please identify yourself and your company. Please note, this conference is being recorded. I now hand over the call to Mr. Ganesh Nayak, Director at Zydus Life Sciences. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's my pleasure to welcome you all to our post-results teleconference for the first quarter ended June 30th, 2026. For today's call, we have with us Dr. Sharvil Patel, Managing Director, Mr. Tushar Shroff, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Arvind Bothra, Head of Investor Relations, and Mr. Alok Garg from the Managing Director's Office. To begin with, let me talk about the key developments during the quarter. I'm happy to report that we commenced FY27 with strong double-digit growth, building on the formidable base of FY26. This performance reflects the sustained momentum across all our key businesses, each of which contributed meaningfully to the overall performance during the quarter. With this, first of all, let me walk you through the financial performance for the quarter under review. We registered consolidated revenues of 80.2 billion rupees, up 22% on a year-on-year basis. On the operating profitability front as well, our performance was robust with an EBITDA margin of 24.1%. Consequently, EBITDA for the quarter stood at 19.3 billion rupees, while net profit for the quarter stood at 9.4 billion rupees. Our net debt to EBITDA ratio stood at 0.7 times as on the 30th of June 2026. Now let me take you through the operating highlights for the first quarter of FY27 for our key business segments. In the pharmaceutical space in India, our branded formulations business sustained market outperformance with a strong 20% year-on-year growth during the quarter. This business has in fact outperformed the market growth consistently over the last three financial years. Growth during the quarter was broad-based as we grew faster than the market in super specialty, chronic, as well as acute segments. In terms of therapy performance, the business grew faster than the market in cardiology, dermatology, gynecology, anti-infectives, pain management, and in the super specialty areas of oncology and nephrology. Our ranking improved in key therapies of cardiology, dermatology, and pain management, while on the super specialty front, we continue to retain leadership position in the oncology therapy. Our large innovative brands led by Lipaglyn continue to strengthen their market standing and improve their rankings quarter after quarter, underscoring the impact of our innovation on improved patient outcomes. Contribution of chronic and subchronic portfolio has increased consistently over the last several years and stood at 54.2% as per AWACS MAT June 2026, an improvement of 360 basis points over the last 4 years. International markets formulations business has delivered strong growth during the last several quarters and has established itself as a formidable growth pillar for the company. The business sustained the growth momentum during the quarter and posted revenues of 9.7 billion rupees with a year-on-year growth of 34%. The growth was led by strong demand-driven performance across markets and supported by focused execution. North America business, comprising of the US and Canada, exhibited resilience with revenues of 31 billion rupees during the quarter, up 5% quarter-on-quarter. The base U.S. business continued to gain share driven by sustained volume expansion supplemented by new product launches. On the U.S. generics front, we filed five ANDAs, received nine approvals, including four tentative approvals, and launched 11 new products during the quarter. Our U.S. specialty business achieved two important milestones during the quarter. First, we launched Nufemco injection, which is ranibizumab, our first biosimilar in the U.S. market, marking a meaningful expansion of our specialty capabilities and laying the foundation for future participation in the growing biosimilar segment. Second, we completed the acquisition of Assertio Holdings, significantly strengthening our commercial capabilities, portfolio breadth, and market access in the U.S. specialty space. These milestones underscore our continued focus on building a robust specialty platform in the U.S. and advancing our transition towards a more differentiated, innovation-led business model. In Canada, we received two ANDAs approvals and launched two new products during the quarter. Our consumer wellness business recorded revenues of 14.3 billion rupees, up 67% year-on-year. With this, the international business, including the ComfortClick portfolio, delivered a like-to-like growth of 25%, while the domestic business grew 5% year-on-year. Within the domestic portfolio, skin and hair care and food and nutrition continued their strong momentum, delivering growths of 35% and 16%, respectively. Seasonal brands, however, degrew primarily due to the softer summer season. In the medical devices space, the business registered revenues of 2.8 billion rupees during the quarter. We are investing in enhancing our capabilities in the focus therapies, which offer long-term growth potential to create differentiated value. On the operations front, our injectable manufacturing facility at Zydus Biotech Park recently received an Establishment Inspection Report EIR with a Voluntary Action Indicated VAI classification following a GMP surveillance inspection conducted in April and May 2026. During the quarter, we entered into a joint venture agreement with Sunshine Healthcare to establish a pharmaceutical manufacturing facility in Sri Lanka to strengthen local production and reduce import dependence for the country. Now, this concludes the business review. I would now request Dr. Sharvil Patel to take you through the key drivers across businesses as well as initiatives in our innovation program. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nayak, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to have you all here today on our call. FY27 is off to a great start with a strong performance across the key businesses. More importantly, we continue to advance our transformation into an innovation-led organization. The share of our branded portfolio in the total revenues has steadily increased over the last several quarters. It accounted for over 55% of our total revenue in the first quarter of this year. As our branded business continues to gain scale across markets, we expect their share to exceed two-thirds of our overall revenue over the medium term. I'm confident that the strategic choices that we have made over the last several years will build strong growth pillars for us in the long term. With our innovation efforts translating into commercial opportunities, a growing branded portfolio, and disciplined execution across businesses, we are well positioned for our next phase of growth. On the pharmaceuticals front, our strategy for India formulation business is working favorably. The branded business delivered a formidable 20% growth during the quarter. In fact, the business has been consistently outperforming the market growth over the last several quarters. A key driver of this outperformance is our chronic portfolio. These therapies continue to gain share and significantly aid to our overall growth momentum. This is further supported by the strong uptake of our innovation and differentiated portfolios. In addition, Our brand building initiatives and a stronger execution focus are delivering clear results. We remain fully confident in our ability to outpace the industry growth and growing sustainably. Our international market formulation business continues to deliver strong growth and has emerged as a formidable growth pillar for the company. While our therapy-led strategy continues to drive momentum in the emerging markets, portfolio expansion and deeper market penetration in Europe are supporting this sustained growth momentum across the business. We have steadily strengthened our position in the US generics market through a diversified portfolio, a stronger execution, and a resilient supply chain. This is reflected in the sustained prescription growth market share gains and improved market rankings, reinforcing our position as a trusted generics player in the US. I am pleased to report that our branded business in the US now contributes 10% of our revenue in the US. We expect the share of this segment in the US to continue to increase as our specialty and innovation-led business gains scale. The growth drivers are firmly in place vis-a-vis orphan and rare disease franchise, a growing portfolio of 505(b)(2) products, the recent acquisition of Rolvedon, and an NDA submission to the US FDA of Saroglitazar, our first internally developed innovation in the US. Collectively, these businesses position us for a sustained shift towards a more differentiated and specialty-driven US portfolio. In the consumer wellness business, we continue to build a future-ready portfolio through innovation, disciplined execution, and data-driven decision-making. Our investments in analytics and digital capabilities are enabling sharper consumer insights, improving resource allocation, and sustainable profit growth. In the MedTech, we continue to strengthen our presence across the orthopedics, cardiology, and nephrology while building a scalable platform for long-term growth. Leveraging Amplitude's orthopedic portfolio and the proprietary anti-robotic surgical system, we are expanding access to advanced solutions. At the same time, we are broadening our cardiology offerings and establishing a high-end dialyzer membrane facility to address growing global demand in nephrology. With this, let me share some material developments on the innovation effort during the quarter. On the NCE research front, the US FDA granted priority review to our new drug application of saroglitazar magnesium for the treatment of primary biliary cholangitis. Recently, we received also a regulatory approval in India to initiate a phase 3 clinical trial of desidustat in patients with sickle cell disease. The study will be conducted in collaboration with ICMR. Desidustat represents a potentially first-in-class therapeutic opportunity for the treatment of sickle cell disease. On the biotech R&D space, we initiated a phase 3 clinical trials in India for our second ADC of biosimilar. This development further strengthens our deep and differentiated biologics pipeline and underscores our capability in developing advanced biologics. It further enhances the long-term growth potential of a biologics franchise. On the R&D front, on the vaccines R&D, we completed our phase 2 trial of the bivalent typhoid conjugate vaccine and also initiated a phase 1 trial of our chikungunya vaccine in India. On the global development front, we submitted our dossier of the MR vaccine to WHO. The dossier has been accepted for review. Thank you. And now we can start with the Q&A session. Over to the coordinator for the question and answers.
Thank you, sir. We will now open the call for Q&A session. We will wait for a few minutes until the queue assembles. We request participants to restrict to 2 questions and then return to the queue for more questions. Please raise your hand from the participant tab on the screen to ask the question. The first question is from Kunal Dhamesha.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Kunal from Macquarie. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on strong set of numbers. Dr. Sharvil, with quarter one suggesting strong top line growth, would we be kind of looking at a much higher growth than what we have guided for FY27, which is currently at double digit is what we have said. So yeah, that's the first question.
So thank you for the wishes, and I think we continue to stay with our guidelines that we will deliver strong double-digit growth for the year. starting with the first quarter. I think our India business is poised to deliver significantly good traction, better than market, at least by 300 to 500 basis points. So we see mid-teens growth continuing for that business. So is our international markets and US being around single-digit growth. So looking at that, we will still see good growth for the coming year in revenue.
Sure. And for the India business, I think last time we shared the share of the Progressive brand. I believe that with a strong growth, has that gone up meaningfully in this quarter? And should we expect that momentum of Progressive brands to kind of continue at that level?
Yes, I think we have seen more than expected exceptional strong growth on our innovation portfolio, which has beaten our current expectations. Also, on our value-based biosimilars, we have seen a very significant uptake on all brands. So that has seen a very significant uptake also. So I think both of them have significantly aided to this momentum. At the same time, which has also led to an improvement in our chronic basket and our growth booster brand. So I would say the all-round performance across, but better than expected on the innovation and biosimilars, and also the scaling up of vaccines.
Sure. And the last question that I have is on the overall some of these new growth drivers, right? In the medium term, we suggested that the branded pieces will become more than 2/3 of the revenue, right? Would you say most of this new drivers would aid to our profitability over medium term?
Yes, so I think if I break down into businesses, India and EM, I agree with what that with the improvement in our portfolio of branded as well as chronic, we'll see better profitability. On the US, I would say the only scale up that we need to do is Saro, which will require investments. But if you take our other portfolio, which is our Sentinel, that is already profitable and broken even and profitable, and will continue to aid to profitability. We are seeing our portfolio on the 505(b)(2) also becoming profitable from now and growing. And as I said, today it's only 10% of our business, and probably by end of the year it'll cross 15% or more. And we can only see that increasing meaningfully.
Sure. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from Neha Manpuria.
Thanks for taking my question. My first question is on the increase in the operating costs that we have seen in the current year. Given that we'll have the full impact of Assertio as well as Saro spend, how should we think about both the employee cost as well as the SG&A cost? When should we start expecting the incremental Saro cost to flow through? And just an update on our guidance, margin guidance. Are we still maintaining the 24%+ margin guidance that we'd indicated?
So Saro, there is already certain costs that have started, but we will see a increase in the second half of the year. Owing to that meaningful increase that we will see in the next second half, we are still guiding towards the 24% kind of margin.
So
In
Neha,
that case, sorry, sir, go ahead.
our current run rate of about 1,900 to 2,000 crores, I think that kind of a run rate, I think we should assume as a part of the other expenses, excluding R&D on a quarterly basis.
And this is despite us increasing the spend on Saro.
Yeah, it's all inclusive.
Okay. And the increase that we have seen quarter on quarter so far is essentially on the back of, what would, this increase, like Sir mentioned, Saro is one of them, but what is the other reason for the sharp increase that we have seen in costs, quarter on quarter?
So it's all acquisition driven, the impact that we see on increase in the other expenses. Largely, I would say that almost like I would say that about
80% is increase in the cost is driven by acquisitions that we had in last 1 year.
That I understand, sir. Year on year, I understand. But even if I look at this number quarter on quarter, you know, it seems like a fairly steep increase.
Zydek Associate and the freight expenses.
Okay, understood. My second question is on the CapEx. You know, we see a pretty sharp increase in CapEx this quarter as well. If you could give us some color in terms of where we are spending in terms of, you know, CapEx and what the guidance for the full year would be.
So the CapEx, from the CapEx point of view, I think a meaningful part of it obviously is setting up of the facilities SEZ-3, which is coming right now, the completion of the expansion that we have done in our existing facilities for higher capacity, including Moraiya, Goa, Baddi, and then Unit 2, Unit 3, and SEZ. We are also building a new bigger R&D center for formulation development, which has happened. There's one-off investment in wellness for a larger land acquisition for future facility, which is a little exceptionally for a one-time kind of investment. And then it's the new CAR-T facility that we built for biologics, new vaccines, DS facility. So there are multiple things that have led to this increase, including some investment that continues in Zydek also. So it's a whole host of many things. So it is not a one particular thing that is a large item other than the wellness land acquisition, but multiple investments in increasing scale and capacity in existing and new capability.
And for the full year, what would this number be in that case?
So we are right now guiding for around a 1500 to 1600 crore CapEx.
Understood. And in for Saro, you know, based on, you know, given that we have the TAD coming in the later part of this year, you know, how should we think about, you know, the ramp up of market share there? You know, if you could give us some color to help us understand in terms of what the sales opportunity could be.
So on Saro, we are building for a next FY28 launch right now, so April launch, we are investing for that. The first year, first 3 years, I mean first 2 years will be just a build up of this, so we won't see any significant revenue in the first year large, but as we move into second and third year, we will see the revenue mark build up. So I think it will, first 2 years will look more from an investment point of view as to how much we're investing. On the market point of view, obviously, if you see the recent guidance from both the other competitors in the current segment, they are seeing better traction than their earlier guidance, and they've upgraded some of their guidances. And that is led from higher patients, bigger patient pool, and more patients wanting to access this indication. So we are seeing a positive in terms of market being a bigger market than expected. So we are only seeing some positive signs in terms of how this market formation is happening. And so we're quite excited with that opportunity.
Noted, sir. And any indication that you would want to give on target market share, or let's say peak sales that we expect from this product?
So on, as I always said, on our conservative side, we are looking at a 200 to 300 million range. And maybe more optimistic, we can cross the 400 plus million.
Understood. Okay, that's helpful, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Saion Mukherjee.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. On the US, sir, you mentioned, you know, currently we have 10% of revenues coming from branded. So that would mean roughly, let's say, $130-$135 million, right, of revenues on an annual basis. How is that, like, you know, the rare disease would be like 40-50 million, and if you can throw some light, what are the other constituents, and whether Assertio is a significant number in this?
So currently in this quarter, which is 10%, we don't have any associated number fully. Our last
Okay.
year's sample was around 60 million. which is the ultra rare disease business. And I
Okay.
think as we start adding from the coming quarter, that's why we set the numbers from the analyst point of view will go up towards 15%, because those numbers are still to be baked in.
Understood. So you're saying rare disease is around 60 million, and the remaining 60, $70 million is like 505(b)(2) products. Would that be a right way to think about it?
There are a cluster of 552 products.
Okay. And sir, this Assertio acquisition, Rolvedon sales, how should we think about the contribution this year, next year? What's the expectation there?
So I think we have just begun, so it seems to be on track. We are looking at around
Annualized.
50 to 20 million per quarter run rate.
And this will, we would see that from next quarter, right?
Yes.
Understood, understood. And sir, on the India business, we have seen good growth here. If you can, you know, I mean, what's really driving? If you can give some color, of course, you mentioned about innovation asset. Maybe, you know, how has semaglutide done? If you can give some color here, I'm just wondering, what's the sustainable number? Let's say, if I take a 2-3 year horizon, how should we think about the growth for India business?
So I think, I'll try and maybe summarize a little better. I think there are two, three things. One is overall chronic part of our business is growing, at more than 20%. And if you look at even July numbers that has been reported by the AWACS, we're seeing strong traction on the chronic side of dialysis therapies and growing very meaningfully, in which helps that growth. The second is we are seeing a very, very meaningful uptake on Saro and Desi, which is adding quite meaningfully, almost 30 to 45% kind of growth in this business. So that's also adding very meaningfully and scaling up, and we see that traction continuing. Third is our biologics have seen extremely traction on three or four brands, which have also very, very significantly scaled after genericization also. So we are seeing very strong momentum on those. And Sema is just the beginning, so it is a small contributor. We are third to fourth in market share today in our own brand, but overall we are largest as a semaglutide innovative generic that we've launched. So that also is adding to the momentum. So I would say it's just the whole differentiated pipeline and the chronic business both helping this growth, and we see that sustaining going forward.
Understood. Sir, you know, the 6,500 crores of revenues that was booked last year, how much would be biologics, innovation, and vaccine in that? If you can give a rough percentage.
So we're not given any breakup because it's all in different divisions which have multiple brands, both chronic and this. So we don't track them separately. But as I said, oncology portfolio is the fastest growing, and then followed by the chronic portfolio. And then vaccines is obviously a very different business, which we know I always said that we want to achieve the 300 to 400 kind of crore mark, and we are on track to achieve that.
Understood. Sir, if I can ask one last question, which is on the international formulation. You know, we have crossed $100 million of revenues this quarter, and the growth has been exceptionally strong. I would appreciate if you can give some granular color on this, in either in terms of geographic segment or product segment, which is driving this. And again, the question is around, you know, sustainability of very strong double-digit growth from, let's say, next 2-3 years perspective.
So I think three things. One is our core existing markets have delivered on the emerging market front, delivered. They continue to do better than last year and are growing very strongly. The second is Europe, which used to be a little difficult business for us in terms of growth, has two things have changed. Both our core old markets, France and Spain, have significantly delivered on growth, and they continue to see a very strong traction on that. And a new market entry of UK has scaled up much faster than expected, and is also becoming a very important business for us. So that international part in terms of EU has started doing extremely well for us in terms of the revenue. And the third is we entered new geographies, and those geographies we are seeing are innovative pipeline or first generic kind of launches in many markets, which is seeing a good, healthy traction in terms of commercialization. So I think all in all these three things are helping core markets, the Europe doing much better, and the new markets meaningfully scaling up.
Right, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Bino.
Hello?
Hi, Bino. Are you able to unmute yourself and ask the question?
I think he's unmuted,
Okay.
but unfortunately his mic is
Yeah,
not on.
we might move to the next. The next question is from Vamsi.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes.
Thanks for taking my question and congrats on the good set of numbers. So my first question is in terms of the 505(b)(2) portfolio that we have. So of the 20 assets, if I'm not wrong, close to five have been commercialized. So how much of how do you expect the overall portfolio to ramp up in terms of the launches that are going to schedule, which are scheduled for the rest of the year? And in terms of the steady state sales, I remember in one of the calls we have guided that some of these assets could hit a $50 million kind of mark each. So how is that kind of panning out at this point of time?
So on our 505(b)(2), we have a good mix of our own products and licensed products also. So we have about 19 products that we have from our in-house and own pipeline creation. We have a partner products which are about eight that we're working on in different areas. We have commercialized 4+ products now, as we said. And we have more products in the pipeline. So I think it's a pipeline that we're trying to develop for the markets. From the current point of view, I would say the most of them are doing better than expected. I think the going out bills rate is slower than what we had expected, and we hope in the next financial year we'll see a more bigger scale up. But beyond that, the other two, three products that we have launched are doing extremely well. At the same time, Rolvedon will add meaningfully to that business going forward. And then the biosimilars launch of initial launch of ranibizumab, and with the PFS coming next year and also further products, we will see good uptake on that. And also our specialty rare disease business on Sentinel, which has meaningfully started to do well. So all in all, I think that's doing well and is growing well.
Thank you, sir. If I just may also ask a couple of questions around the liquids portfolio. So currently, how big is this in terms of the overall contribution, and how many of the overall 505(b)(2) assets within the liquids portfolio have already been commercialized?
So we have around seven launches, I think, and we have 10+ approvals, and we continue to create a more larger pipeline.
Understood, sir. And lastly, also on Desidustat, any update in terms of our China partner launching it in the Chinese market and how the ramp up is happening there? And how big of an opportunity do you think it could be over the next couple of years?
So the yes, so I think we have achieved the milestones of getting it approved in China now. We have supplied now API for formulation manufacturing in that market. With the time, this product is nationally reimbursed in the drug list. So obviously, we need to get an approval through in the NRDL to gain major part of the share. But having looked at that, there are 120 million CKD patients in China, so it's a very, very large market. The prevalence of anemia is very strong in that market. So looking at all of that and looking at how the peers have done in this space, we see it as a good opportunity. But first, we need to go through the registration and making sure it is available through the to the reimbursement phase. And once the reimbursement phase goes through, then we can see an uptick in that market business. So maybe in a couple of quarters, we can give more highlight, but we see this being a decent opportunity, a long-term opportunity, but we'll have to wait for another 2 to 3 quarters to make sure that all the important approvals go through and the access to the molecule is created in the list.
Understood, sir. Just one last question. So given that it's an NCE asset, and I presume that of course it will also be under patent protection in the Chinese market. So if not as big as Saro for the in comparison, like how much of steady state sales would this asset generate once it reaches its, let's say, 3 to 4 years down the line? What kind of top line contribution coming could be coming from this product from the China market?
See, the quantity is very difficult to say right now. We have not factored in any meaningful scale in terms of our current year. But as we get experience in terms of it getting reimbursement through, then we can see it importantly doing well because the other molecule is doing very well, which is already launched. And I think they are doing about $200+ million in the Chinese market. So, we can see it also being a meaningful contributor to us.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for answering my questions and all the very best.
Thank you. The next question is from Kunal Dhamesha.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Dr. Sharvil, one question on Saroglitazar. So for the incremental addressable patient pool, one, do we need to do additional studies? If yes, what would be the size, scope, and duration of that study? And with, let's say, initial indication we already applied, would we be going for an expedited process there?
Saro is already being granted priority review by the FDA for its first indication in PBC. So that is on track. And as I said, we are building for pre-launch capabilities on that. This will be a continuing trial because we have to follow the patients through and do a rolling phase three. So that will continue. We are also adding a marginal ALP trial to Saro for certain patients who have marginal ALP issues. So that will also expand the opportunity size of the market, which that trial is about to start. So those are the update on the key trials.
And the duration, if you could share, there's in let's say expanded indication, can it be a near-term opportunity or would take, let's say, 2 to 3 years? How should we think about it?
No, it's not. The expanded indication is not a near term. It will take 2 to 3 years.
Okay, sure. And any update on Uznoplast for ALS indication? When is the readout that we expect for that?
No, so Uznoplast, as I said, we have a couple of trials that we are doing. One is a phase two, we initiated a phase 2B in the US for ALS, so that is ongoing. The study is going to enroll 240 patients against the placebo, so that is the way it is moving on. Maybe see it as a FY28 kind of timeline when we can see some data coming out of that. So, end of FY20. Late calendar year 28 or early 29.
Okay.
So that's when we see the data come out. On the ulcerative colitis trial, we have also looking at that as a potential opportunity also. We are seeing good phase 2A data and we hope we can in India and we hope to move that obviously in India in the next phase 2B or 3 and also potentially evaluate it in the US, which is under evaluation right now.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Damayanti Kerai.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity. My first question is for Dr. Indicated your medium-term goal of so for these what kind of spend you foresee, whether it's towards the SG&A or
Cannot.
building up team for
You are
specialty,
asking very.
etc.
We were not able to hear your question if you don't mind repeating it, please.
Yeah, sure. So my question was regarding the kind of spend which you foresee for scaling up some of your newer initiative, whether it's medtech, specialty, biosimilars, and this is also related to how should we see spend required to reach the medium-term goal of getting two-thirds of revenue from branded products, as you indicated.
So we have already invested in biologics and vaccines, so that investment has already gone through. Also, MedTech is a business, a running and growing business with which we have, which we acquired, and which we also launched in India in the cardiovascular side. So these businesses are already invested in and are baked into our current margin guidance.
So, as these businesses scale up and no major incremental spend, it's safe to assume we will be seeing margins moving up from the level which you indicated for FY27.
FY27, we have guided for a
24% plus, right?
24% guidance. So that is what we are speak to.
Okay, and on the biosimilars portfolio where you just launched your like big product there, so there also what kind of timeline we should assume to see meaningful sales buildup happening?
Biosimilars is already a meaningfully scaled business for us and very profitable. So it is not a new business for us.
No, I was specifically asking for the US part. India, obviously, I think you have a very well-established presence, EM as well, but
Yeah, US is more like a 29 kind of timeline when we will see that business scale up. We will have a couple of products before, but real meaningful scale up will come in the calendar year 2029.
okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Bino.
Hi, good evening, all of you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Sharvil Bhai, I was looking at the US trajectory over next 3-4 years. So this year we have mirabegron going on, plus rosiglitazone should come in. Next year also partly we have mirabegron and palbociclib should come in. But beyond that, do you think there could be a dip in US revenues, even if it is a temporary one?
No, we still have a growing pipeline of products beyond these valuable products in the market. In fact, we recently also launched indocyanine green, where we got 180-day CTT exclusivity. So we have a future pipeline of products which are in the 505(b)(2) and ready-to-use formats and other areas which will all add to meaningful business. So we do not see that kind of a fall in the US revenues.
Understood. Thank you. And one bookkeeping question. If I look at the depreciation number consolidated, it has sharply gone up starting 4Q of last year, and 1Q also again has gone up. So part of it could be the acquisitions and related amortization. Is there anything else into it? And is this the level at which it will continue?
Yeah, so I think largely it is on account of this the acquisitions. This amount also includes the licensing amortizations that we had because of the mirabegron settlement. So that will be up to the first quarter of FY 2027-28.
Do you mind calling out that number? roughly at least?
We have not called out that number very specifically because of the confidentiality.
Okay. Anyway, it will end in the second quarter of FY28, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Saion Mukherjee.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. Just you know, as you mentioned about the brand part of the business becoming two-thirds or more in the medium term, and this year has been more of an investment you know, year for you. So with that business mix changing towards brand from 24% EBITDA margin today, where should you expect let's say from an FY30 perspective, when you achieve those targets, your EBITDA margin to settle at?
So I think from the planning point of view, yes, if we are able, when we are able to scale up a branded business towards the two-thirds, then we should see an improvement in EBITDA margins. Obviously, the first couple of years now, you'll see an investment phase on Saro and some of the other portfolio, and also some improvement increase in R&D. But ideally, we would want to be improving our EBITDA margins to the 28-30% range as we move closer to the five-year period.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from Rashmi Shetty.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, so just one bookkeeping question on Assertio, whatever consideration amount, how are you allocating to, how much are you allocating to goodwill, intangibles, or anything in gross block?
So I think so we have a window of 12 months to finalize in terms of what should be the purchase price allocation of this entire consideration. But you know, the large part of this will be towards towards the brand as well as, you know, the platform that we have got from the commercial platform that we've got from this particular acquisition. So large part will be towards intangible.
Okay, and amortization and all has not come in quarter one, right? For this quarter?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and on your Comfort Click business, how do you see, you know, growth for this piece in FY27 and going ahead?
So we are seeing good, strong double-digit growth for the business, and that we see that happen for this year.
Okay. And for the entire consumer business also, you see a strong double-digit growth only, right?
Yeah, we are looking at a double-digit growth.
Okay. And how many launches are planned for the US business for this year?
Between 30 to 40, depending on multiple scenarios, but at least 30 plus launches.
Okay. And this includes the specialty launches also, right? Hello.
Yes.
This includes the specialty launches also, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Thank you. The next question is from Surya Patra.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. In fact, first question is about the gross margin. Sorry if I am repeating the question because I slightly late joined the call. See, gross margin this quarter had seen a kind of a dip, both sequentially as well as YOY, despite of the fact that there would be some currency tailwind that would be there. So how should one understand this? Is it entirely due to the kind of a royalty or the commission that we are paying to for Mirabegron, or what is the reason that would be?
So Surya, on gross margin perspective, on a quarter on quarter, there is because of this Mirabegron settlement, we had the higher cost associated with that because of the arrangement that we had with the innovator. So that is impacting on a quarter on quarter basis.
Okay, so then is it fair to believe that, sir, then see this Mirabegron issue would be there in the first half. Second half onwards, it would be subsiding substantially. So then, second half gross margin scenario will go back to the normalcy situation, excluding for the kind of whatever special situation product opportunity that is there with us. Is that understanding right?
No, I think maybe you can contextually think differently. Mirabegron is a very good profitable business driver, so it's not a negative to the business. In spite of whatever royalty agreement we have, it still has very strong profitability. So I wouldn't say Mirabegron is not the negative side of the story, but the positive side of the story, because it continues to be semi-exclusive. And in factoring for all of that, we have still guided for a 24% EBITDA margin.
Okay. So kind of a balanced kind of a margin trajectory for the all of the quarter that we are indicating that way. Sure.
Yeah, that is what we are guiding for.
Sure, sir. Second question is about the Saroglitazar US plans, the launch plans, if you can talk about, and the associated cost along with that, the likely timeline, what one should think, whether it will kind of have a initial cost impact in FY28, or how should one think, if you can just.
So as I said, Saro is an FY28 launch, so we can give you better in the last quarter when we are coming near to launch. The
Okay.
first 2 years will be a build-out phase for the investment that we make. So even this year and the coming year, we will see uptake in investment and post. So that's what we are building for, and that's how we are also guiding in terms of our margins, assuming that there will be investment on Saro.
Okay. And regards the domestic business piece, see, in fact, as you mentioned in the call itself, that your performance was one of the best in the semaglutide side because of your own brand as well as the kind of a partnership route what you would have adopted. But whether this is a sustainable kind of a trend even in the subsequent quarter, or it is the initial benefit of channel filling and all that, what we the street would have seen for everybody. So hence whether it is a likely sustainable trend, hence the growth in the domestic market should remain elevated and stronger. How should one think about this semaglutide boosting the kind of a growth momentum here in India?
So on Sema, yes, it is a sustainable momentum. But having said so, our 20% growth is not factored around Sema. Sema is a very is a contributor, but a small contributor to that. Our growth has come from our other products rather than semaglutide.
Okay, just last one point, sir. See, we know that the this year you have mentioned about a kind of a sustain some single digit kind of a growth for the US business, but because of the Mirabegron impact. But going back again to 28, FY28, if we talk about, given the pipeline and given the kind of the Ibrance products exclusivity that is there, so again, can we think about double digit kind of growth in the US business?
I mean, there are all things that we're doing with obviously on the generic as well as on the branded side scaling up. So obviously we'll see a better profile versus this year.
Sure. Yeah, those are the questions. Thanks for the taking my all my questions.
Thank you.
Yep. The next question is from Vishal Manchanda.
Yeah, hi, thanks for the opportunity. Would you be able to share some color on Aflibercept biosimilar launch? Because you were the first one to launch that in India. So is that shaping up well, and can that be large?
Yeah, I think the initial traction is good for us. We are seeing it's a very critical product with high quality specs that is required for this. And we are seeing good results on the launch of the biosimilar. So from the ophthalmology side, this will be a meaningful product for the business.
And that's picking up traction well, in so based on your initial assessment.
Yes.
Okay. And I also saw like you also in-licensed the innovator product also in the same category. Is that right?
You mean the generic biosimilar of that, right?
No, the innovator brand as well is something you have in-licensed for the so Eylea, which is the innovator brand, has
We're
Zydus
not
in-licensed that as well?
licensed the innovator brand.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will wait for the queue to assemble. If anybody wishes to ask the question, please raise your hand from the participant tab on the screen. Thank you very much to Zydus Life Sciences management team. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Zydus Life Sciences, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line and exit the webinar.